welcome to Chaos Considered Minisode, where we consider our weird, wacky, wonderful world and share the burden of knowledge, but in a smaller, bite-sized, arguably more enjoyable format. My name is Emily Roberts.
Mine is Claire Middicky.
And before we get in, you know, I want to say some things off the top. I want to say, Hey guys, I know if you're anything like me, you skip the credits at the end. So I'm going to tell you right here, right now, before we get to all the juicy good stuff, you gotta go leave us those reviews. Come on, guys. Go leave us some 5-star reviews. Make sure you follow us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, and our Instagram's slowly but surely getting cute. You should follow it.
Yeah, we have some things that we're prepping for our Instagram. So if you want to go check those out. And then, as always, of course, like, you know, we're going to repeat all this at the end anyways. But, you know, make sure you email us chaosconcern@gmail.com if you have any suggestions. Claire.
Yes.
Can I tell you?
Tell me. I'm begging of you, please.
And
tell me.
If literally anybody asks for this, I will lay down my life and I will do this. Claire, do you know what Eurovision is?
So, okay, in a very real way, no.
Okay. All right, I'm going to give you some basics, because I have gotten into Eurovision this year, and I have some thoughts and opinions that I cannot share, but I wish I could.
But this is your platform.
Sophia and I are like, oh, we're going to get that NordVPN for next year so that we can watch Eurovision next year, because we are in it. We are into Eurovision. But it's basically a song competition, and every European country, plus Australia and Israel, which is not a great look right now, they all compete basically in this like international song contest, and they all send representatives from their country to do a song on Eurovision, and they compete, and basically like the audience votes. I may be misunderstanding some of this, but my understanding is that like the audience, there's like maybe there's like panels from like representatives of each country and then also an audience votes. I'm not sure. All I know is that the UK never gets any votes, thank God. These performances, some of them are buck wild, because I think a part of it is some countries genuinely want to win and some countries really don't care.
Or good.
Some countries are like, we're here for a good time, not a long time. Because the thing is, if you win Eurovision, you host Eurovision.
Oh, so, a double-edged sword is what they're saying.
A double-edged sword this is, yes.
Okay.
So, but most importantly, this year had some just incredible bops. I've discovered some incredible music through it. First of all, I don't even know where to start. Claire, I feel myself brimming. Again, I'm like, do I need to sit down and make a video just like going through all of the Eurovision songs? Maybe I do. Maybe someone says, Emily, you should do that. Because I have some hot takes and I have some gay takes.
I mean, there's almost nothing I would love more than for you to do that. Anyways.
Yeah, anyways. So there was like three standouts for me this year.
Okay.
There was...
Hit me with your standouts, baby.
Okay. I'm going to give you some... hot fresh. So first of all, Ukraine did this like, the best thing to describe it is like this like post-apocalyptic Slavic folk. She was giving me Witch in the Woods.
Ooh.
She was giving me like, you know, like Mad Max, but make it Europe, but make it Slavic, but make it folk, but make
it.
And her song was called Shum, and they had to change the lyrics because originally it was based off of like actual like Ukrainian folk songs. That one, she goes so hard, I was living for it.
That sounds fabulous. Yes,
so I love her. And then there is this group, I always forget the full name of it. So there's this Icelandic musician named Dadi.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically put together a band of him and his, like, friends to perform for, I think it's, like, I don't know how I would pronounce this. I am so sorry, Dottie, if you are listening. If you are listening, Dottie.
Dottie. I've got some questions. Dottie, please.
His name is Dottie.
Dottie. Dottie, yes.
It's like Gognomagni.
Excuse me? What'd you call me?
Okay. Gognomagni. I think it's probably how, as close as it's going to be.
Okay.
Gognomagni. It's Gagnamagni, and then the fun Scandinavian D.
Yes. You were never going to, that's
hard. I was never going to get it. I'm sorry.
You got very close. Whatever it is, I think you did a fantastic job.
My Scandinavian ancestors, sorry.
Now you, yeah.
Shouldn't have come to America if you wanted me to know how to pronounce that, so got him.
Got him.
So he brought a song that was, it's called 10 Years, and all it is about how much he loves his partner and how after 10 years, things just keep getting better.
And
like, it's so cute, and he has like their whole, like, they have a whole aesthetic going, or they have like these sweaters with like these pixel art versions of themselves, and it's just him and his friends like dancing and like singing and just like being a band together, just about all about him and how much he loves his partner, and about like, oh, like
that's that's deeply precious.
It's so deeply precious, and they did so well. They were in the top five, and I was like, yes, this is the kind of music we need.
Yes, yes.
And then I'm also obligated to be absolutely obsessed with the winners of this year's Eurovision. So Italy won.
Okay.
Spoiler alert. The band is called, I think it's pronounced like, I want to say Moonskin. It's like M and then like a fancy A with a little hat.
Mm, yes.
So it looks like it says Manskin.
Mm, challenging.
But I'm pretty sure it's Moonskin because it's supposed to be like Moonlight or something like that is the meaning of it. They are an Italian, like, alt-rock band with some truly delicious, like, pop punk flavor.
Yes.
Oh my god, Claire.
Yes.
They were serving looks. Yes. They looked like they came out of, like, it felt like it was the 1970s.
Good.
And I was watching, like, a height of rock and roll performance.
Hell yeah.
I'm talking high-waisted flared pants and long hair and lots of eyeliner. And they're all just, like, headbanging on their guitars. And all of them are very attractive people. And their music is fire. And I've been listening to their albums on repeat for the past couple of days now.
Heck yeah.
All of their music is bringing me... I don't know if I'm gonna date myself in case anyone is like older or younger listening to this. Claire, I'm 24.
Yeah.
You are also 24?
Yes.
Okay.
We together, both of us, 48.
48. Glad to check. We kind of grew up in the height of, like, pop punk, rock and roll, like, 2008 music.
That yes. was sort of, yes.
like, I don't know about you, but, like, I grew up listening to, you know, My Chemical Romance and Fall Out Boy and Paramore and...
Yeah.
Just... All Time Low and All American Rejects and like all of these like
iconic, you
know, iconic, and I love what like say like Fall Out Boy is doing, but they've just been skewing more and more pop every year.
Yeah,
and that's not what I want. Something that like I want to that gets inside of me and makes me want to just like go for it. You know what I mean? Like I need like a jam that's.
I feel like there's been somewhat of a resurgence of that type of, like, I don't know what you would call it.
It was always weird. It was always, like, genre-defying, because it's, like, rock, but it's not rock, and it's, like,
yeah,
punk, but it's not punk.
Exactly.
It's like poppy, but it's not pop. Alt-indie, new wave, like, what is it? I don't know, but it has a good beat, and the singing is gorgeous, and they have a couple songs in English.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying that, like, the main singer, Damiano, has some raw sexual energy. And I'm just like, sir, can you put that away?
I mean, I feel like I should leave so you and him can get a room.
I'm going to need you to Google Måneskin Eurovision 2021 performance. Just so you can see what I'm talking about.
I am going to take a look at what you've said. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What you're seeing. Okay. So I'm seeing some toddies out is what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The refreshing thing is that the bass player, who is a woman, is the most dressed out of everyone.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm noting that as well. That is one of the most refreshing things. The guys, on the other hand, both toddies out. The picture that I'm looking at the most is where it seems like, I don't know if it's like the leader of the band or whoever.
In the Q&A. Yeah, that's the singer, Damiano.
My friend is...
Because remember when I said that he had raw sexual energy and you were like, okay, Emily. And I'm like, no, it's not me. It's him.
It's like borderline uncomfortable to look at just because like he seems to exude like decadence or like sensuous energy is off the charts.
It's like this man could play... God, what is the like god of like wine and revelry?
Dionysus? Like, is that his
name? Yeah, this man has some Dionysus energy.
Yeah, it is helped by the fact that he is sitting next to an open bottle of what looks like champagne or something.
Well, here's a fun fact about that Q&A. So he split his pants. So...
Oh, he split his pants? Is that why his shirt's off?
No, he's not wearing the shirts, but also he split he pants. So there's a point where he just like has like one leg up over the table, just being like, oh, bare leggy.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of powerful, powerful energy. Very attractive.
Yeah, there's not even like, there's a moment where he's just like tenderly holding the guitarist's neck and looking into his eyes while he sings during the performance.
There's like, should we leave? Like, should we leave?
Yeah, should we leave?
I feel like I should leave. I feel like me being here is making it more inappropriate.
But at the same time, the music,
all bops. Yes!
And in fact, there's one song called Coraline on their most recent album that's all about just like this girl with anxiety, and boy, it makes me feel things, and it's all in Italian, but it makes me feel things, and I'm like,
we're feeling some kind of way today.
We're feeling some kind of way today.
Heard, seen.
And I can't pause this podcast and make Claire listen to it, which is travesty.
It's deeply upsetting. I will be listening to this after the fact.
Oh, yeah. Claire, if you ever find yourself being like, I need to just listen to some My Chemical Romance, because I do that. It's like similar energy, but it's like, what if I didn't understand a word they were saying
fantastic.
And just felt it viscerally?
That's not important. Understanding,
like, there's also like a song that's like, it took me truly, guys. So I don't speak Italian, but I took about like years of Spanish. And if you read Italian, it, like, you can, if you know Spanish, you can, like, understand some Italian, mm-hmm. like, reading it, not hearing it, because it's pronounced differently.
Yeah.
But, like, it took me so long to realize that I was like, oh, like, they have a whole song that's just, like, called, like, In the Name of the Father, and it's just, like, this, like, you know they're critiquing Catholicism.
In the Name of the Father, already, that's hard-hitting, baby.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like... It is him just, like, rock screaming in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Like,
yes, baby. Yeah.
That's an aesthetic.
Yes, baby. That's a vibe. I wish to be a part of it. Oh, I'm excited, actually, to get in and watch this.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, we'll talk about this after the podcast.
Fantastic.
But I guess you can, this is supposed to be the mini-sode, you know? It's supposed to be a shorter episode.
Every time they're like maybe 15 minutes shorter.
You're welcome. Okay, so I had an original plan a little peek behind the curtain. Claire and I do sometimes plan out in advance what our topics are going to be.
Yeah.
I went a little haywire. Maybe this is just like a musical episode. You know what I mean? Maybe this is just an episode where I talk about music.
Yes. All music all the time. Music from you. Music from Eurovision. We're going to start making music together. This is our, we're launching it.
Oh my God. It's going to be so bad.
I have the voice of an angel, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we were both, let's just say, we were both in choir.
We were both in choir together. So, I thought I was a soprano for most of it. And, you know, we all make we all make mistakes in my alto voice.
Mm-hmm. It's hard out here when you're an alto. I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you. I have always been like, let me sing the guy part, because that's where my voice is at its richest.
Mm, yes.
But I've also always been like the alto-soprano split. So I was always the mid-tone harmony.
Ooh.
Anyways.
Ooh.
So today, I am going to be talking very briefly about the kakapo, a highly endangered parrot from New Zealand.
Okay.
And the man who wrote some sweet, sweet music to get those birds in the mood.
No! No!
Just listen to the story, Claire. Okay.
No! For them to bone? Using his gift of music for bird boning?
Well, maybe. So the kakapo is a round, flightless parrot that looks like an animated avocado, and it has the sweetest, tiniest little beanie baby eyes. Just like, it's big, it's avocado-shaped, and it has beady little eyes.
I love it.
Like many birds in New Zealand, the kakapo is endangered. So the fun thing is that New Zealand is an island. And unlike Australia, it didn't really have any mammals, except aquatic ones who could swim there, and bats, until humans came and introduced mammals.
Weird.
Yeah, so basically for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years, animals that evolved were birds. So there are a lot of bird species, and a lot of flightless birds, and birds who nest on the ground. And these guys are particularly vulnerable to the introduction of mammals. You know, they were flightless, and they nested on the ground and things because they simply didn't need to fly away from land predators.
Yeah,
They didn't have, you know, cats and dogs and, you know, weasels and who knows what kind of stuff, right?
They were fine when just chilling humans there came, until
the humans came about 900 years ago. And it's been downhill for the kakapo since. In 1995, there were only about 50 animals left.
Oh no! Little avocados.
The avocados. So they got a breeding program going because conservationists and zoos and stuff do great work and they save important species, and you should support your local zoo. I see a lot of zoo slander out there, and I want to remind everybody that there is indeed a difference between a Tiger King roadside zoo for entertainment and exploitation and zoos, accredited zoos, that are meant for education and conservation.
Word.
Yes, I think we can all agree, like, we would love to see these animals in the wild, but for some of these animals, the wild is simply not a place where they can survive anymore. Yeah. If the kakapo were just left in the wild and were not taken into the zoo, we would not have kakapo. So, there's also similar... I'm getting aggressive here. I'm sorry for the tone of this. I'm just very passionate about conservation. And there are, like, several species, even in America, that would have been extinct if it were not for zoos. The California condor, making an incredible comeback. Comeback Woo! Queen! Because of breeding programs. Same things for, pretty much any endangered species you can think of. Well, not any endangered species, but a lot of them, their survival is entirely based on conservation, because you can't just leave them out there while you're trying to figure out a means to save the environment or to get them, you know, because all that time, that takes precious time. And if these species are very, very vulnerable, you need to take them out of that environment and breed them until it is safe to return them to the wild where they belong. Anyways, so, as you know, there's a lot of like, oh, this animal is sad and locked away in a cage. And it's like, well, this animal is well cared for by professionals who are doing everything to meet its needs. And is this ideal? Like, no. But these are not, like, animals taken from the wild. They're animals that were bred in captivity.
Yes.
That are serving a very important purpose. And if they were in the wild, they would be probably horrifically killed, you know, from, like, starvation or, you know, any other practice that is leading to the extinction of these animals. Anyways.
On that note. Heck yeah.
So on that note, in 2019, hey, there were 147 parrots. So still critically endangered, but they're making a significant comeback.
Heck yeah. Look at them go.
Look at them go. Going from like less than, you know, about 50 to 147. Woohoo.
They're making some money moves.
So in 2019, a company called Meridian Energy, they partner with the Department of Conservation's Kakapo Recovery Program. They decided the birds just needed some mood music. So Meridian Energy does a lot of like interesting work with them. For example, they had like these smart eggs that like were being used as like a teaching tool for like nesting kakapo, like in order to study them and prep them for like when they actually have eggs. Okay.
They essentially gave them, like, the high school, like, what they give, yes, like, high schoolers, like, a little baby to take care of.
Our high school did not do that.
Thank God. Hey, guess what? Thank God. There was a lot of wild things that our high school did. But they didn't give us a mannequin baby to take care of.
And tell us to take care of it.
It's the little things.
It's the little miracles. So they sent out a call to find a saxophonist, because the saxophone is, of course, the sexiest instrument.
That's true. Say it.
They literally tweeted at Kenny G, but it didn't pan out.
Stop it. Stop it. They are so nasty.
So instead they got then 23-year-old Piers Dashfield, who answered the call, and he composed a sweet saxophone song for these kakapos.
Did it work?
We're gonna get here. So when asked if this was the weirdest thing he'd done for conservation, he replied, without a doubt.
Yeah.
which is the correct answer, by the way. Because if he had done anything else, if he said, no, this isn't the weirdest thing I've done for conservation, I would have concerns.
I would have deep concerns about what a nasty little conservation pervert he was. I would be so deeply afraid of the saxophone man.
I'm going to link you the song. It's a minute and a half.
Oh my God.
I'm sure we'll put a little tiny clip in this podcast, not the full thing, but I want you to listen to it and give me your thoughts.
Excuse me? I feel uncomfortable listening to this in front of you. This is very sensuous saxophone. They also got like a bass that's like just got me feeling some kind of way. Okay. 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 I'm crying.
I'm glad that this is what
I'm pausing the music. I'm actively crying. That was, that's so deeply chaotic, because it is so, like, unrelentingly sensual. Have you gotten to the bird noises yet? There are bird noises yet?
Yeah, last half, baby. Gotta get those bird noises.
Okay, I'm gonna get, oh, those are some bird noises. There's, like, a pulsating bass. Oh, okay. Oh, and so the saxophone just reminded us, like, who's in charge here. All right. I feel like I'm in an 80s adult film. Like, that's...
See, how does that make you feel, Claire?
How does it make me feel?
Yeah, how does it make you feel?
A borderline uncomfortable for, like, how raw that sensuality was.
Yeah.
That person read the assignment. You know what I mean? This young saxophonist
Piers Dashfield
my guy showed up and said, hey, I read and I did exactly what you asked for. If these birds are not the horniest, it's on you. It's no longer on me because I showed up. I did my part. I threw in some bird noises. Is that like bird boning noises? Because I couldn't.
Or just... I have no idea. I think maybe mating calls.
Just Of course. Yeah, there was like a thumping, like bass kind of moment happening in the background. The saxophone would like, you know, eased back for a second. And then you like heard these like melodious bird noises. And then it came back in like nobody's business to like lay down the smooth track. It was upsetting. It was upsetting. I was very into it. I'll be listening to this on my own time. Excuse me?
The Meridian Energy Company would like to say this wasn't a scientific study and there's no scientific evidence that it worked, but it also kind of worked. So what? 249 eggs were laid and 76 hatched.
Wow.
So that is a big gain for the kakapo. 147 parrots and then 76 eggs hatched.
Dang.
I mean,
lay down the business. His name was Pierce. Pierce lay down the business for these horny birds.
I literally read this and then I listened to the song and I was like, oh, this is an audio medium.
Ah, yes.
And I said, be gone with you, original topic. We got to talk about the kakapo.
Those tasty, tasty, now ready to bone avocado beady-eyed. Looking son of a guns.
Do you want to see a picture of them?
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Oh gosh, there's just Damiano on my Google.
Stop it. We gotta stay focused.
Oh my god.
So sensuous in this room right now.
Tell me if I'm wrong. Is this not an avocado with beanie baby eyes?
Oh, it's an avocado with beanie baby eyes, huh?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is, huh? That's you not wrong. That can I tell you, the one that you sent me, it looks like they just heard the first lines of that saxophone start going.
There's also like a very fun video they made about the production of this song, and we should definitely link to it. Also, they're larger than you think they are.
How big are they?
Let me send you a picture. I think we in North America are used to a lot of our birds being small, and I think when birds were given free rein to be birds, they got big.
They seized that opportunity. They said, I'm trying to expand.
Yeah. They want some growth.
Beefier the better. Oh my gosh. Why, hello. It's giving me like porg energy. That's rather large.
Yeah. It's about the size of a man's forearm.
My giant avocado plushies with little beanie baby eyes.
They're very good. And now they're being saved thanks to one man's sweet licks on the saxophone.
Nope. I hate it.
I said licks, but I feel like you heard lips.
I heard licks is what I'm saying. And I also did like that. I'm just saying that there was not, your best case scenario was not for me.
Okay, well, what did you brought?
Well, what have I brought?
So, when you want to know.
All right. So today, what I'm bringing to you is NPR Tiny Desk Concerts.
Oh my God. It's a musical episode,
baby. It's a musical episode. Start to finish. I was like, we started off so strong. I was like, oh, we're talking about Eurovision. I'm like, oh, that's a beautiful little segue. I wonder what she's going to talk about. Birds boning to saxophone music? Ah! It's... We're all music all the time.
This is incredible. Guys, I'm not saying that we're music people now. Beeple?
Beeple?
Music a baby double. Boca de Beppo?
We broken?
Yeah.
Sometimes we break.
Also, this is like a side note. The French song in Eurovision is a lot of a lady going, voila! And so sometimes if I'm being that way, I'll just turn to my roommate and be like, voila! I should be like, stop it.
Way to be a little bit of a French stereotype. I love it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's just a lot of her screaming like voila in a way that says, is this what you wanted? Have I performed for you?
Am I you French know, enough now?
Am I French enough now? And so I channel some of that energy and she's like, how you doing today? And I'm just like, voila. She's like, okay, stop.
I'm that's like, all okay. Hey, I would say that you communicated very well.
Thank you. I think that human beings rely too much on the spoken word and not enough on vibes.
The sung word?
No, just vibes.
Oh, vibes.
There's a vibe to a music. There's a vibe to a sound.
Okay, so Tiny Desk, have you ever heard of the NPR? We were talking about this and I was surprised.
I have seen Lizzo perform doing the Tiny Desk.
Okay. And then is that it? That's all you've seen?
That is it. That's all I've watched because as much as I've talked about music, I don't want to say I'm not a music person. I think I'm the type of person that would drive an actual music person absolutely crazy. Because if I find one album I like, I listen to it on repeat for months.
Mm, yes.
And then sometimes I stop listening to it altogether, and then sometimes I go back to it and then listen to it over and over again.
You find what you likes.
I find what I likes, and I play it over and over again. Most recently, what's been in my rotation is the Campaign Skyjack songs, album from one of my favorite podcasts, Campaign. Listen to that on repeat. Bada bang, bada boom. Rina, I think her last name is Rina Sawayama, or is that just the name of the album?
I think that's her last name.
Yeah, I think it's both the last name and the name of her album that I listened to on repeat. Yeah, her album Sawayama. I listen to Sawayama on repeat a lot. I've been listening to Six, the musical Six, on repeat. Nice. And now I'm listening to Munchkin.
I want to say, yeah, Rina Sawayama has a Tiny Desk concert actually.
Oh my god, I'm gonna have to watch her Tiny Desk concert.
Heck yeah. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about Tiny Desk concerts, because those are something that, like, I really enjoy.
Can I say just one more thing?
Yeah, go for it.
That's going to make music people hate me. I've never been to a concert before, but the Jonas Brothers are coming to Minnesota, so I think I've hacked it, because I'm 24 and I've never been to a concert, but I'm of the right age where if I tell people that my first concert was a Jonas Brothers concert, they'll assume that I saw a concert at a normal point in my life, but really, I saw my first concert at 24 and it was the Jonas Brothers.
Hacked.
Huh? Is that a hack?
That's a hack.
I just have never gone to a concert before because no one's ever taken me and I've never had the money. And
yeah,
I've
they
never
cost
just
money.
Like, they cost monies and I've never been like that hardcore.
So as far as concerts I've been to, I've been to maybe like a couple bigger concerts. Not all of them I'm like proud of like, oh, I went to see you. It's like, oh, I went to see you. It was fine. But I feel like the times I've enjoyed them the most is when I've been to like smaller stuff, like with family, like around town, where it's like, oh, you get a beer and there's like a concert going on and you just kind of like chill out and hang. That's always like delightful. I say get a beer as if I'm the one getting the beer. I'm not the person getting the beer because beer is bread water and I'm not
it's
into
gross.
It. But like that vibe is very good.
Yeah.
So
okay.
My relationship with Tiny Desk concerts are essentially like, I would say once every like year and a half, I will go down like a rabbit hole of Tiny Desk concerts where I will compulsively listen to so many. And honestly, that's the way that I've found actually a lot of artists that I really, really enjoy has been through like just like, whew, spending like a couple of days exclusively listening / watching to Tiny Desk concerts. So the reason that we have Tiny Desk concerts is because of a guy named Bob Boylan. And he initially got his start at NPR working for All Things Considered, which is run by Ira Glass. And so Bob Boylan essentially went up to, I guess, Ira Glass's, I don't know, someplace in NPR, gave a very impassioned speech about like why he should be part of this team and what have you, and Ira Glass like hired him. The reason why he was like, oh, I need to work for All Things Considered, is because All Things Considered had done like a piece on a project that he was a part of. This project was called Whiz Bang, A History of Sound. And this was like, I think he had bought like a synthesizer, and he was doing like, he had a little band called the Tiny Desk Unit was a little band that he had.
Tiny Desk Unit. Okay.
Yeah. So the reason that I believe it was named that is, I don't know if it was him or another one of the people that he played with, but they carried around wherever they went, what was it? A tiny tray with a calendar and a desk holder. And they're like, oh, it's like your little tiny little desk. So they called their band the Tiny Desk Unit. The Smithsonian, like, showed their little thing that they made with, like, other collaborators or whatever. And then Ira Glass, or at least All Things Considered, covered it in a segment. Fast forward to Bob Boiler being like, hey, I should work here because I'm awesome and I think you're awesome. And then he was hired on a very temporary basis, where he was essentially an editor, like cutting the tape to, like, I don't know how tape cutting works, but he was the editor for it. And then over time, he became one of like the main editors on it. And then he started his own thing, which is All Songs Considered. So All Songs Considered for NPR, because we're getting into NPR, because why not? We have to. We have no choice. Not the hugest NPR person, but we're getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm forcing you along with me.
I'm here.
You are here, and I appreciate that. Essentially, All Things Considered started because this man was the person supplying all the music in between Ira Glass's segments, and they kept on having people call in and be like, hey, that music slapped. What was that song? And so he ended up creating this whole segment, which was just him playing like songs that had been featured on All Things Considered. That was great. Turns out my guy Bob is also just crazy into music across the board, goes to an incredible amount of concerts. Apparently from January 2013 to December 2015, he saw 1,830 live concerts.
That is 1,830 more concerts than I've ever seen.
Oh my goodness! Wow!
It just shows I am listening, even if I hesitated.
Even if you hesitated, you were listening, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So he's going to an insane amount of concerts. So the show slowly evolves into him like interviewing people, having like a blog about it, and talking to all these live musicians. That's kind of how the show like steadily evolves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one day he and I guess like a pal of him, I don't know if it's like a fellow NPR person, but they go to see the Decemberists and a person who was touring with them named you know the Decemberists?
I know who the Decemberists are because their music inspired Campaign
Sky. Hey!
So I haven't listened to them because I'm not ready to go down that rabbit hole. But yes, their music is the reason my favorite podcast exists. So Yay! Everything's connected.
Everything's connected. Look at how connected this little episode is. So there was this woman touring with the Decemberists. Laura Gibson was her name. And my guy Bob went to go see her. And the venue, like she sings rather quietly. And the venue that they were playing on, there was like a baseball game playing. People were cheering and talking and drinking, and it was very loud. And like, he couldn't hear it. And he was like, she sounds, from what I can tell, she sounds awesome. And I wish I could listen to her in a different venue. And so he went up to her and essentially offered like, hey, if you want to, could you just like play at our like NPR offices? I think that would be dope. So the first Tiny Desk concert ever is Laura Gibson performing in front of Bob Boiler's desk. And like, it's a real kind of a little bit of a janky setup, because like, I think he was the person on the camera, and you know, there wasn't like a super cool background like there is now. Like now there's, I think, like a lot of like music and books and like signs and posters and stuff. And there was just like a collection of CDs behind her, whatever. And it's really, really beautiful. And so that's how, like, Tiny Desk got its start. So they continued on playing a lot of, like indie bands and, like, some rock and whatever. And then October 2014, Franny Kelly, a co-host of NPR's Microphone Check podcast, was like, hey, you're kind of playing, like, the same genres, and it's very white. Yes. And it's like, that's not awesome. And this is like a cool platform. So it'd be cool if we started like expanding out into like different genres and whatever. And so one of the people that they got on was T-Pain.
Huh.
T-Pain is actually it's no longer the top. But it was, for a while, the most popular, most listened to Tiny Desk. And for good reason. Because it was, for me personally, mind-blowing. Because with T-Pain, like, my whole thing, like, his whole thing is, like, auto-tune. And he has, like, the little funky vocals and whatever. And so the idea that he would come to NPR behind this tiny little desk in an office filled with different cubicles with, like, 80 people watching him midday, coming in with only a keyboard player and him and his vocals.
Just doing his thing.
Just his vocals, and he has a keyboard player. And that was it. And then you realize, hey, guess what? There's a reason why he's so famous, because like that's just what his voice does and sounds like. He just has a really beautiful voice.
Wow.
Was it
eye-opening for you?
It was eye-opening for me. He also won the Masked Singer, by the way, which don't watch it because the anti-vax lady is one of the main people on it. But he won the Masked Singer, which it was also something where people were like, I forgot that T-Pain is an incredible singer.
Yeah.
Yeah, which it makes sense. But it's just because you're so used to hearing him in only one context, the idea that like all he needs is just like a little like do-do-do-do-do. Like a keyboard player and just like his beautiful voice. It's like, oh dang, okay. So from there, I feel like, as far as I can tell, they've done a really good job going into a lot of different genres, like R&B, rap, country. They weren't doing a lot of country before. They're getting into that. They do a good job. Their main criteria for it is essentially, we just need people, like the music nerds in our office, we just want them to be passionate about it. So it's like, you do have a lot of like really big name people. Like you have like Lizzo and Taylor Swift and like all those people. But then there's a lot of people who found at least new audiences and or kind, not, I wouldn't say got discovered, but like, man, their platform got boosted and became part of like the common, like everyday vernacular and what have you. Like I said, I discovered a lot of like some of my like favorite artists. Just listen to my little like Tiny Desk people and what have you. And so the overarching thing with Tiny Desk is that like, it's a very odd space to have artists perform in, right? Because you don't have like flashy lights. You don't have like cool graphics. It is like the middle of the day in an office with a small audience. It's a weird dynamic. And almost every one of the musicians that shows up on it are kind of like, so I've never done this thing before. This is odd. You have to understand that this is weird for us both. And like, they don't edit out like, the editing done to it is very minimal, right? So they'll make sure for the audio, they might adjust like the sound levels for different instruments to make sure it's like, you know, evened out or whatever.
Listenable.
Yeah. You know, they have 3 to 5 cameras going at a time so that they can just do it in like one, it's just a one take situation. They don't edit out the awkward times in between songs, you know, which are always kind of hilarious, where it's like, I guess we'll do another song today.
Anyways, here's Wonderwall.
It is very much so, anyways, here's Wonderwall every time. And so it kind of like, because it is this like less polished, it feels like it's very intentionally made to feel like a little bit more raw, a little bit more personal. Raw. I think you get a lot of really interesting looks into the artists that come through. And I've just listened to a lot of artists that I would have never have considered, right? So yeah. There's been about, I think, 1,000 performances, Tiny Desk performances. For a while now, it's looked a little bit different than it has in the past because of the global pandemic. So there's been a lot more like home performances, but they keep the same like vibe.
Energy.
Yeah, where it's like all one take type thing. And it's just very fun. So here's a handful of performances or just like people who've been on this just to get kind of like a vibe, right?
A vibe.
So
vibe check.
Yeah. We have people like the Cranberries, Wilco, Mac Miller. Because why not? The Blue Man Group, Erykah Badu, Brittany Howard from the Alabama Shakes, Yo-Yo Ma, Weezer, Tank and the Bangas. We keep it loose. We keep it fresh. We keep new people coming in. They also have done a fun thing where there's been a number of artists where they got to them, I think, kind of like just before they got like huge. So like Hozya was in there just right before he was like everywhere. So they've done a very fun job of like, all these essentially like little music geeks being like, hey, I heard this one person. What if we had it on? You know? And sometimes that person is already like huge, has a platform. And then other times it's like, oh, here's this, you know, this person that has, you know, 20,000 listens on Spotify or something. But this person in our office thinks that they're just like the greatest, which is like very delightful. So I figured I would tell you a couple of the ones that I really liked.
Yeah, tell me who you like. What's your recommendations if someone's leaving this podcast and going to go listen to
So one of the ones that I listened to earlier on was Moon Hooch. Well, and part of the reason why I bring it up, it's not necessarily my favorite, but I bring up Moon Hooch because that's one of Bob Broiler's favorites. And that's one that I really enjoyed. Where they got their popularity playing in subways, which I think is part of the reason why their performance actually worked really, really well, is because they're used to like a smaller, like going hard with a smaller audience.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine. Anyways, they're fantastic. They they have like saxophones and like drums and what have you. The saxophone player has a full on, large traffic cone in his saxophone, which adds another layer of a weird sound. It's very fun and funky, and they lay down some nice beats. I think the top most popular one right now is the Anderson .Paak one, which is one of my favorites, just because Anderson .Paak, like, I like his music. I love his Tiny Desk because you see like how charismatic he is.
Mm-hmm.
And this like very awkward social situation, you know what I mean? Like that's a hard, like there's a specific skill for working a tiny venue. Like there's different, it's not inherently a better skill than working bigger venues, but it is just like a different way of running a show. And he like,
it's intimate
and he nailed it. It was so funny. And it just like the vibes were like immaculate. So, I mean, I loved him as well. That was also great. I love the Mac Miller one. That was also very good. You know which one I watched not too long ago? Megan Thee Stallion?
Oh, I bet that was good.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that sometimes you just don't know, like, it's not a matter of talent. Sometimes you just don't know how, like, certain, like, musicians will translate to a smaller stage because you've only seen him performed on maybe for like Megan Thee Stallion. I had only seen her perform on like award shows and like just like these light, and she's like, she owns it and it's so like magnificent and over the top. And to have it in this smaller venue, she killed it.
Good.
Oh my goodness. It was so fun to watch. It was a delight. Lizzo, you watched that. That was a good one. I really enjoyed that. I really liked, Liana LaHavas. She had like a very like chill, vibe. And it's interesting with some of these where it's like, I'll go and actually listen to their music. And sometimes it's like absolutely my thing. And sometimes it's like, no, I just think you're incredible live. And I think Leanna LaHavis was someone who I definitely liked her music, but I loved her live.
Mm-hmm.
In that little setting. And then it's also just like the fact that I get to just watch that for free. And it gives you a false sense of like feeling like you know the artist just a little bit better, because you realize like, oh, they are just like kind of a person. Yeah. Anyways, I really, 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 really enjoy them. And I'm overdue for a weird little binge.
Yeah, gotta get back in there.
Gotta get back in there. But yeah, all right. Tiny Desk sparks joy.
Is that it?
That's it, baby.
Well, you know, we started at the top, but I think it bears repeating. Where can the people find us, Claire?
You can find me so many different places presently.
Find you specifically?
Yeah, you can find me in my living room right now. Well, my dining room, living room area. I'm sitting down. So if you would like to join me, I'm going to be doing some cleaning later on. You're welcome to join. But what I would like to say is you can find us. We have a Chaos Considered website. We technically have a Twitter. We do have a Tumblr. We have an Instagram, which is not bad. It's getting better. Slowly but surely. And then the most important thing, I would say, is the fact that we have a chaosconsidered@gmail.com email. So you can email me, Claire, all the things that spark joy for you. They don't have to spark joy for me. I often bring things that don't spark joy to anybody else but me. So, you know, it's up to you. And then if you find something that's like deeply, delightfully, deliciously chaotic, send that over to Emily.
I want it. I crave it. I'm hungry.
Nourishment, baby.
Nourishment. And, you know, while you're on the internet, go ahead, whatever listening platform you're using, make sure you're following us. You don't want to miss any drops. You never know when a minisode's going to show up. So you may as well just subscribe.
Keep you on your toes, baby.
Keep you on your toes. And if you have something to say about this podcast, we are accepting criticism at this point, but only in a 5-star iTunes review.
It's so awkward.
So, but we are excited to hear what you have to say, as long as it's a 5-star review.
That's right, baby.
So go ahead, go do that, and we gotta wrap this up, because I have to make Claire listen to this Italian rock band.
I'm so excited.
And you know, and if you want a whole video of me giving my opinions on
Eurovision, yes!
No one's asking for it, but maybe I'll do it. You never know.
You never know.
You never know.
She's gonna have to do it.
No, you can't make me do anything. Damn it. Got him.